Okay, today's daf is Yud Kufu Gimel. We're going to start at the toward the bottom, seven lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line of Kufu Gimel Kufu Bet Amabet Ihachi. Okay, so we ended yesterday with basically after the back and forth, why about the whether we should side with right why the sachir bizmano, if it's before the time that he was supposed to pay the person for their work. What do we say? The sechir gets to be nishba v'notel, which is an atypical type of shvua, because he's able to be motzi the money. Usually we say amotzi mechaveh or alav haraya, and therefore the shvua usually falls on the person who doesn't have to pay, nishba v'eino mishalem. In this case, we say, dafka the sechir, as long as it's within the time that he was working, he gets to swear and get paid. Why is that? We try to hold back and forth until we finally concluded that the reason is, which we've seen before, that the balabayit is taru b'po'alav, and he doesn't know, he doesn't remember who he paid. All right, that sounds good, except that we're going to have a problem with this, which is, what about, according to this, ihachi, we should say, there's a few ihachis, so seven lines from the bottom, afilu katsatz nami. Right? We said, even if they set a price and their argument, until now, what did we see when they're arguing about whether he got paid or didn't get paid? What if they argue about what the price was, right? This happens. You hire someone for X amount, and then they claim, you hired me for this amount. And you say, what are you talking about? I hired you for that amount, right? In Israel, we always say, get everything in writing, because otherwise you get into trouble. I'm sure they do it in America, too, but I've been here very long, so my world is here. So anyway, what do they say? Afilu katsatz nami, right? The logic would state that if they were having a disagreement about what the amount that they agreed upon was, we could say the same thing. Well, the balabayit is taru b'po'alav. He doesn't remember who he agreed on what with, and we should side with the worker, and he should be able to be nishba v'notel. So, but if that's the case, right, so logic would state that based on the logic we've established. But alama tanya, but then why does it say in the braita, not that way? What does it say in the Braita? Uman omer shtaim katsatztali, v'hala omer lo katsatzti lecha el echat. Right? They're having a disagreement whether it was two or one that they had agreed upon. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. In this case, what do we say? The classic hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, meaning we side with the balabayit until such time that the poel can prove otherwise. So therefore, what do they say? Now we're going to obviously distinguish. Katsitza v'dai midkar dekire le'inshe. Okay, remember, Dalet and Zion switch. So Midkar is Mazkir, right? In other words, Zocher. It's from the Lashon of Zocher. Obviously, how much you agreed to pay someone, that kind of information a person's going to remember. But this all goes to the typical assumptions that the Gemara makes, right? It's like when you learn economics, there's all these assumptions that they make. Likewise, in Gemara, they make assumptions about people's behavior. It's the exact same thing in economics. We can assume that all people will do this. Obviously, it's not always true. But we can make general assumptions about people that can at least generally be true. So we're going to assume that a balabaya might not remember if he paid his worker or not, but he will remember what he agreed upon to pay him in the first place. So then, fine. So we've established that he's not going to remember if he paid him, but he is going to remember how much he agreed upon. But now we're going to go back to the fact that we say he doesn't remember if he paid him or not. But wait a minute. What was the Mishnah telling us? When does the poel nishba v'notel? If it's bizmano, if it's before the time came for him to pay. But if it's avarzmano, right? So ihachi afilu avarzmano nami. And alama, right? So if we assume that the employer doesn't remember how much he paid his, whether or not he paid his worker, so it shouldn't make a difference if it's bizmano or if it's after the time he should have paid him. He's still, if they're having a disagreement and the worker says, listen, I finished work for you 3 days ago and you still haven't paid me, and the guy says, I think I paid, I remember paying you, then what would we say? According to what we've established right now, he's not going to remember. We're going to assume that the worker can be nishba v'notel, but that's not what we said in the Mishnah. Alam atnan, avar zmano eino nishba v'notel. So now we're going to say, there's a separate thing, which is chazaka ein balabayit over mishum bal talim. We discussed this at the time we learned the Mishnah. There's two things here. There's number one, the fact that he's not going to remember. That's why bizmano nishba v'notel. But once it's avar zmano, there's another working assumption, which is that a person, even though he might not remember whether he paid or not, when it comes time for the payment day on salary day, he he's going to make sure to take care of everything and probably figure out a way to recall what exactly happened. And at that point, we're going to assume that he's not going to be over on Baal Talim. People take this very seriously. How do we know people take it seriously? Because there's all these lavim associated with it and the aseh. I was actually trying to think about it last night, that I was wondering about historically, when this started, this whole concept of, let's say that there's five lavim for this and six lavim for that. If you remember, we've seen this a bunch of times, these lists. And it seems like another one of those attempts of the rabbis to say, this is quite serious. In fact, another thing we saw about them trying to say it's quite serious is what we saw yesterday, that it's like you're killing them. And we saw that also with Rebit, that you're like killing the person. And it was a way that the rabbis strengthened, right? Whether or not the Torah meant we should have X number of lavim, it's not so clear. Now, the Torah might have been stressing how serious it is. And the rabbis took that and worded it in the terminology that would people would relate to. Oh, well, there's this lavim, there's that lavim, there's that lavim. You know, you're over on many lavim. But the question is, what's really the significance of over on many lavim, right? Does it mean you get more malkot as a result? Or, and if you're mevatel and aseh, well, there's no punishment for that exactly. It's a way, I think, of the rabbis trying to make a hierarchy of which are the serious mitzvot that you really can't avoid dealing with. These are quite serious and they're much more severe. That's a possible thought I was having about them. So why does it say Avar Zmanoi now Einon Mishpat Bino Tel? So we said chazakah, there's a chazakah that the Baal HaBayit is not going to be over on Baal Talim. Obviously, this is a little tricky, right? So the person is going to ask, what do you mean? How can you say he's not going to be over on Baal Talim? V'ha'amarta, we said a minute ago, the Baal HaBayit terubah po'alavu. So how can you say on the one hand, he's not going to be over on Baal Talim, he's going to make sure that he pays his workers on time. On the other hand, we said that if it's Bizmano, then we can assume that he doesn't remember. So how does that work? So what are the answer? Hanemile mekame delimtiyes man chiyuve, aval mates man chiyuva rame anav sheyumidkar. Okay, this is what I said before that. There's a difference when it's within the time that the guy's still working and he shouldn't have gotten paid yet, where we can assume that the Baal HaBayit is not going to remember. But when it comes salary day, he's going to make sure to rack his brain. This is how memory works, right? You don't think you remember something, but if you really work hard to try to remember, you can probably recount and try to figure out. Not always, it's true. Look, in the end, we only rely on the people who are willing to swear, right? In other words, only if someone is willing to swear under oath and say, I didn't get paid, or I paid already, right? Again, depending on which the situation is, then we go by that. But anyway, he at least gets the rights, if he wants to swear. Okay, and we assume he won't swear unless he's 100% certain, and not, I kind of think. Okay, b'chis sachir, now we're going to have another thing. Wait a minute. There's chazaka en adam over mishum baal talin, and therefore he's believed. So after zmano, he's believed because we assume he's not going to be over on a mitzvah d'oraita baal talin. But what do you mean? We can use it on the flip. The sachir, what are we assuming? If that's our assumption, what are we assuming then? The sachir is lying, and he's trying to get double paid. Now, if he wants to get paid double, that's basically stealing. He's stealing money from the employer. So aren't we going to say, b'chis sachir over mishum baal tigzol? Won't we assume then that he's not lying? Because if he were lying, right, he'd be over on baal tigzol. And don't we assume, just like the Baal HaBayit is not going to want to be over on baal talin, and therefore he's going to rack his brain and make sure that he's going to pay his worker? Don't we think on the flip side, the sochir is not going to be over on Baal Tigzol, and therefore, he's only going to say, you didn't pay me, if he really didn't get paid, in which case, maybe he should be allowed to be nishba benotel, even lachar zmano. So what do we answer? Hatam tre chazake, hacha chada chazaka. There's two chazakas on the Baal HaBayit side, after zmano, and there's only one chazaka on the sochir side, and therefore, we're going to side with the owner, the employer. So, what are these two chazakot? Kabe Baal HaBayit ikatre chazake. Chada de'ein Baal HaBayit over mishum baal talin. V'chada de'ein sachir mashes charo. There's two assumptions. Actually, what's interesting about them is one is on the Baal HaBayit and one is on the sachir, but they both side on the side of the Baal HaBayit here. What is it? Number one, we're going to assume he's going to pay his workers on time. He doesn't want to be over on this low taseh of Baal Talim. It's interesting, by the way, that they don't say that Baal Talim has more low taseh and aseh associated with from Gzela. Now, having Gzela is mentioned a number of times in the Torah, so it could be because of that. But they could have maybe suggested that, which actually strengthens my argument that maybe it was just saying it's a severe mitzvah, but it doesn't necessarily mean they were trying to raid it to kind of scare people away from doing it, and not necessarily that it's really so much more serious. And the second is that the sakhir is not going to let, if you're owed money, you're going to go to the balabayit and say, hey, you owe me money. So if he lets it go past zmano, and we're already in the state of after zmano, we're going to assume that he must have gotten paid, because otherwise he would have said something and he would have gotten paid. Okay, so therefore there's two on that side, and on the other end, there's only one chazaka, which is that the socher, there's a chazaka, that normally people won't be over in Baal Tigzol. Okay. Next section of the Mishnah. Im yesh edim shetava'o, hareze nishba v'notel. If there are edim that say that the worker tried to get his money, okay, then even after zmano, he can be nishba v'notel. Okay, which works with the last thing we just said, which is there's a chazaka that ain't sachir masheschero. So if he's not begging for the money every day, right, then we can assume he wouldn't have let it go past the date. But now let's say the guy really didn't pay him. So if there are edim that say that he is trying to get his money, right, then we allow the guy to be nishba v'notel, the worker. So then they say, v'ha katava'o. But what do you mean? Isn't the worker himself, here it says, v'ha katavele, come on. It's, didn't he already, right, this is, 1 second, right, the question here is, right, what does it matter if we have edim or we don't have edim? If the worker is claiming, I didn't get my money, right, so then, if he's claiming in court, we don't need witnesses to say that he's claiming his money. So what does the Gemara answer? Amar Rav Asi, shetva'o bizmano. What do we have? Remember, there's this chazaka that ain't sachir mashes charo. So if the sachir comes now, 2 days later, and says, I didn't get my money, well, where were you before? So now they're going to claim, Edim saw that at the time of payment, when the Baal HaBayit was supposed to pay, bizmano, the guy claimed, hey, you didn't pay me yet. Okay? They saw him say, you didn't pay me yet. So that's what they claim, and that's what supports his claim, that knocks out this assumption that the Baal HaBayit must have paid him bizmano, because they saw the guy asking for his money and not receiving it. Okay? So now they say, b'dilma batar hachi para, but just because they saw him 2 days ago claiming he didn't get his money, who's to say that that's such a proof? Maybe the next day the guy paid him. Amar Abaye, shetva'o kol zmano, that we see him asking all the time. Okay, now, exactly what all the time is, right? In other words, he was asking for his salary until, right, Rashi says, ad sha'avar alav. In other words, they saw him asking for his salary, betoch zmano, and then the time passed. And as they saw him that whole time, until, right, that clock ticked, and in goes Baal Talin, right? And then the guy's already over on Baal Talin, and then we have proof, right, that we don't have this chazaka, that ein adam over on Baal Talin, because he didn't pay him then. We have proof that he didn't. So then they say, ula olam. Now what does this mean? So now from now till eternity, we can assume that since avar zmano, the owner never paid him, and these edim are enough to support the claim that, again, you have to remember, the sakhir still has to go swear, but that he has the upper hand. So Amar Rav Chama Baruch Bat Kineged Oto Hayom Shel Tvi'ah, which they understand is saying, every day that the guy claims, I didn't get paid, he has that whole day, basically. We can assume that within that whole day, he can still be Nishba V'Notel, but already a day later, no. So if he continues his claim and every day says it, then we can keep going on forever. Okay, it's a little bit similar, by the way, that this concept of chazaka, that if you live in a property for 3 years and nobody complains, then you have rights to that land even if you don't have a shtar to show for it. Because someone complaining, it's called mecha'a, they're protesting. So here, if the guy keeps protesting, that keeps his claim going. If he stops protesting, then obviously it means he didn't really care. This is, by the way, also good advice. You know, if you have a claim against something and you kind of let it go, which happens to me a lot because I'm busy with other things, and you let it go, at a certain point you lose credibility to start making a claim anymore, right? What do you mean? You have to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, then you kind of lose your strength in your argument. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to move on to Mashkon. Now you might think, what's Mashkon doing here? So if you look at the psukim, okay, I want to show you this. Look at your sheet. Take the sheets if you didn't get a sheet. It's very Kaf Daled. Okay, we have Our psukim in Yud Dalet was our pasuk we started with yesterday. Lo ta'ashok sachir ani ve'evyom me'achecha o'megircha asher ba'artzecha b'sharecha b'yomot titein scharo, etc. And if you look the few psukim before that, what comes right before that? Ki tasheh b're'acha mashat mu'uma lo tavo beito la'avot avoto. If you have money that somebody owes you, don't go to his house and take something as collateral. Bachutz ta'amod, stand outside. Okay, this is the halacha we're going to learn now. V'ha'ish asher atano shebo yotzi elecha et avot achutza. The person that owes you money will bring you something. The assumption of this is you can't go in and take some item. Maybe it's something that's very important to him. Let him choose what he wants to give you as collateral, and he gets to choose, not you. V'im ish ani hu lo tishkav ba'avoto, and if he's poor, don't keep it overnight. Hashev tashiv lo et avot kivo hashemesh, give it back to him at sunset. V'shachav b'salmato, and he'll sleep with his cloak or his blanket. Uberachecha, right, and he will bless you. Ulecha tiyet tzedaka lefnei Hashem Elokecha, and it will be good for you. Okay, remember this term, lecha tiyet tzedaka. Okay, we've seen this before. We've seen some drashot on it. Okay, so it will be good for you. Now, before we go on, I'm also going to show you that this appears also in Shmot Perakaf Bet. And again, we're going to have this, you know, debate like the drashot on all these different psukim. Im kesef talveh ami et ani imach. If you lend money to your people in your nation and the ani with him, with you, lo tielo kinoshe lo tesimun alav neshech. This is the ribi pasuk. Im chavol tachbol samat re'acha. Okay, this is going to a little bit contradict, because what is chavol tachbol? If you grab his salma, which sounds like where are you grabbing it? Probably in his house, right? You're choosing. Abo ha'shemesh tishivenu lo. You have to give it back to him until by sunset. Kihik suto levada. He simlato la'oro b'mei yishkav. Right? This is his cloak, and if you wear his clothing, and if you take it, what is he going to sleep in? Okay, this is negative terminology versus positive, right? The other one is will be good for you. Here is, if you don't, it will be bad for you. If he cries out to God and God hears, right, because God has rachamim. This is, by the way, very similar to Pasuk Tevav in Dvarim, Perakaf Dala, that we saw yesterday, Bilo yikra alecha el Hashem vaya b'chachet, right? Which we discussed yesterday. What do you mean? If he doesn't call out to God, so you want a b'chachet? Same thing here, right? If he calls out to God, God will hear, and God has rachamim, and will have rachamim on the other person. But what about if God doesn't hear, right? Okay. I think also they're trying to make a point about the pain and the trauma that you're causing the other person. And then look at his plight. It's not just between you and God. This is Ben Adam L'Chavero. And the Ben Adam L'Chavero will ultimately get you punished, but because it'll go through God, but it'll go through the Chaver that you did something wrong to. Okay. Hamavet Chavero lo yimashkenenu ela bebetim. So now we're back to the Mishnah. If you lend your friend money, don't take a mashkon except for bebetim. Now, the Mefarshim are explaining. Okay, Rashi says, we're talking about here, there's two kinds of mashkons. There's a mashkon that you take from the beginning. We've seen this before. And we said that there's two ways of, there's a machloket about it. Is it lezichron dvarim, just so you could say there was a loan? Or is it leguvaina, in order to collect? And then there's a mashkon that you take if the person doesn't pay you the money on time. And that's what Rashi says. V'yigia zman v'lo paralo. Then you can take a mashkon. Now the Mefreshim ask here, why are you taking a mashkon? Why don't you just take his property? Remember, we have a whole system that you can take someone's nechassim, right? You can take their karka if you had a milveh bichtav. You're allowed to seize his land. You're allowed to seize his land that he sold to other people that he had at the time of the loan. So why aren't you just taking his land? So a bunch of different explanations are given. Maybe he doesn't have land. Maybe we're talking about this 30-day period, which we're going to see soon, that there was a 30-day period, if you remember, we saw this, that when somebody goes to get paid, and then the person says, I don't have the money to pay you back, we give him 30 days to get the money, right? And then, so maybe it's for that 30-day period he wants to have a mashkon, so that what? Now, let's say he doesn't take anything, okay? If within those 30 days, no, at the time he's supposed to get paid back, and the beitin gives him 30 days now to find the money, and he doesn't take a mashkon, and the guy dies, and he doesn't have land, so he gets nothing, okay? Because he can only take from land of the Yatomim. But if he takes a mashkon, then he could keep the mashkon. because it says in the pasuk, we're going to see this inside, that he has to return the mashkon to the person. It doesn't say to his yorshim. Okay? So that's another possibility as to why he would be taking this mashkon, so that he has something in his hands in case the guy died. And there was another reason in case... If the Shvi'it comes, if it's almost Shemitah, and the Shemitah, right, the end of the Shemitah year, all the loans are canceled. So if that happens within that 30-day period, the land will be canceled. But if you have a mashkon, hamal v'al mashkon ein Shvi'it mishamete. We saw that before. So it also will prevent the Shvi'it from canceling the loan. He'll be able to get his money back. Okay, so now, if you lend your friend, you can only take a mashkon bebeitin. V'lo yikanes lebeito lito mashkono, and you can't go into his house to take the mashkon, sheneemar b'chutz ta'amod. Now the second line is somewhat problematic, because the first line just said, if you lend your friend, you can only take a mashkon bebeitin. So ma pidom, we're saying, lo yikanes lebeito, obviously you can't go into his house. You can only take a mashkon bebeitin. Right? Now what's the assumption? You go to the court, and the guy brings it to the court. Alternatively, the court says you're allowed to take a mashkon, and then you can go get a mashkon from him. But and then maybe the second line is saying, well, then you can't go into his house to take that mashkon once the Beit Din orders you capable of taking the mashkon. You have to wait outside his house. Or we're going to see that maybe that line is actually talking about the Beit Din, and it's not talking about the balabayit, the malva at all. It's talking about maybe the Beit Din, and it's telling you the Beit Din also can't yikanes lebeito lito mashkono. Okay, but it's not so clear right now. The first way we're going to read it is it's talking about the malva only, which makes sense because he was the subject of this sentence. And also, lo yikanes lebeito is singular, which sounds like the malva himself. Okay, but then it's a little bit problematic, that reading. Okay, so now, hayulo shnei kelim. Let's say the guy had two kelim. Let's say he's got nothing else in his house, just two things, and together the two make up the value of the loan. Notel echad u'meniach echad. Okay, so you can take one and leave the other. In other words, at each given point, he gets one of them. Okay, so machzir et hakar balayla ve'et hamachresha b'yom. Right, so if he has a pillow and a plowshare, right, that's what's called a plowshare? Plowshare. So he has the plowshare and the pillow. Obviously, he needs the pillow at night, he needs the plowshare during the day. So he gives the pillow back at night, and he gives the machresha back during the day. V'imet eino machzir liyorshav. And again, like we said before, if he dies, the yorshim don't get the mashkon back. Rashbag omer, af latzmo eino machzir, ela ad shloshim yom, u'mishloshim yonu lahalam mochram bebeitin. Even to the guy himself, the love, when the Torah says you have to give it back to him, Rashbag has an interesting explanation. He says that's only for the first 30 days. After the first 30 days, if the guy doesn't pay back, remember, the 30 days after he was supposed to pay, if he doesn't pay you back, then you're allowed to actually sell the mashkon and get your money back. Okay, it's not indefinite. It's a 30-day period, and then you get your stuff back. We're going to start with Shmuel now, and we're going to say that Shmuel is difficult with our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, Shaliach Beitin minatach nituche in, aval mashkune lo. Now, if you notice in the Mishnah, they talked about going into his house, and they talked about getting a mashkon in Beitin. But now we're going to see that there's a middle point, which is in the shuk. What if you see him in the shuk and you take a mashkon from him, right? You take his shirt. It sounded like that's what the Torah was talking about, right? Im tachbol, chavol tachbol samarecha. Maybe that was even talking about in the shuk. It's unclear. So now what does he say here? A shaliach beitin is allowed to go, minatach nituche means he grabs something from him in the shuk. So if the shaliach beitin bumps into the guy he's supposed to go to get a mashkon from, he can take it from him in the shuk. Ava mashkune lo, but he can't go to his house to take the mashkon. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean the Beit Din can't go into his house? V'hatnan, doesn't our Mishnah say, ha'mavet chavero lo yimashkanenu ela be'Beit Din? Which means, just the malvet can't do it ela be'Beit Din. But michlal, from here you can infer the what? Di be'Beit Din mimashkanin, that the Beit Din is allowed to go to your house. So that's the way the Gemara first understands our Mishnah. So if you look, you can follow in the chart, okay? The main things that are bolded, those are the things we're going to struggle with, which is, as Shmuel says, in the house, the Beit Din's not allowed in the house either. And the Mishnah seems to imply that they are allowed to go into the house. Because it's only the Malveh, according to the Mishnah, they can't go into the house. Amar le Shmuel, Ema, read the Mishnah differently than the Pshat. Read, Lo yinatchenu ela bebeitin. You can't grab something from him except bebeitin. Okay, which would mean, right, that and then hachinam, meaning the... You can only take things from him on the street, bebeitin. But even the Beit Din can't go into his house. In other words, the subject is not Limashken. Okay? The subject is meaning you can't grab something from him unless it's bebeitin, meaning that the beitin is allowed to grab something from him. And then lo yikanes lebeito is talking about who, according to Shmuel? The beitin, okay? Meaning it's the whole subject is the beitin, really. That a malveh can't lenatech, okay? The malveh himself can't grab in the shuk. But the Beit Din can grab in the shuk. However, the Beit Din is not allowed to take it in his house. That's how Shmuel will read the Mishnah. And Hachinami Mistabra, De Katani Seifa, and then he proves it from the Seifa. I told you, the Seifa was a little difficult. What does it say? Lo yikanes lebeito li tomash kano mane. Who is this? Ilema Balchov, Meresha Shmamina. If you say it's the Balchov, the Malveh, well, then we already learned that from the Resha, because the Resha says you can only be Mimashkein Bebeit Din, meaning obviously you can't go into his house. So it's a useless statement. Alalav shliach beitin. It must be the shliach beitin, and that's why it says it. So basically, what he says is, since the second line is totally unnecessary, if we were to say that that's referring to the malveh, it must be referring to the beitin. In which case, Shmuel proves that the beitin themselves can't go into the house, and that's what the second line of the Mishnah is referring to. So now the Gemara says, wait, we can explain why it's not unnecessary. They could be talking about the malveh, the second line, and it's still not unnecessary. Why? Imishum halo iria. If that's what you want to say, that's not really a question. Because mishum hachikamar, okay, this is the way it should read the Mishnah. Hamavet chavero lo yimashkenenu ele bebeitim. Michlal de bebeitim imashkenin. Right, from here you can infer that the Beitin are the ones who are allowed to go into the house. This is again Shmuel's reading. This is how they're going to, right? They're going to say, Shmuel, you can't, don't necessarily have to prove that that's how we read it, because we could read it alternatively saying like this. So the first line is telling you, Beitin can be memeshkem, right? They can go into your house. The malveh can't. Ubalchov, right? The malveh, the person who's owed money, afilu nituche namilo, okay? He even can't go get it on the street, right? Gzeira, it's missing a word here. You have to look in the Haggah Hora Bach. He adds the word, Gzeira shelo yikanes lebeitoli tomash kono. It's also not a pshat reading, but what do they say the second line comes to say? When it says, lo yikanes lebeitoli tomash kono, it means, and because of that, they were gozer. If you remember, I said that the Mishnah didn't talk about nituche, about grabbing something. According to this reading, the Mishnah does refer to nituche. In the second line, what they're saying is, since the malveh can't even go into his house, therefore we're going to make a gzera that he can't even grab something from the shuk. Because if we allow people to grab something from the shuk, like if you're owed money to by someone, so you can just grab something off of him in the shuk, you might think that you can also go into his house, and therefore to prevent you from being over on the mitzvah d'oraita, the isra d'oraita of going into his house, we're going to make a gzera not to do it, and that's what the second line is telling you. So therefore, it's not an unnecessary line. Again, it's not exactly the pshat, but then again, neither is Shmuel's pshat. So it's obviously a Mishnah that doesn't make sense according to its pshat. And because of that, we have to have different readings, which again, we've seen many times, because also the way they were transmitted, definitely possible there were mistakes in the transmission, and you know, therefore people correct it. Mativ Rav Yosef. Now we're going to have some questions on Shmuel. Lo yachbo rechayim v'rechev. Okay, this is a pasuk that appears a few psukim earlier in Devarim Kaf Dalid. I specifically didn't put it next to it because I wanted you to know that they're separated by a bunch of psukim and there's some other stuff having nothing to do with it in between. But it says, this random pasuk, really random in the section, I actually didn't have enough time to analyze what it's doing there. It comes after about when a person gets married and then he's not supposed to go out to war for a year. I think that's the pasuk that appears right before it. And then it says, Lo yachbo rechayim v'rechev, ki nefesh u'chovel. Okay, if you take as a mashkon, the rechayim and the rechev, those are things that he uses for his food, the mortar and pestle. You can't take that because that's his basic livelihood. You'll prevent him from being able to eat. What do we assume from there? You can't grab, right? Lo yachbo is grab. His rechayim v'rechev, but it sounds like hadvarim acharim chaval, right? You can be chovel other things. Lo tachbol beged almana. Okay, this is in pasuk yud zayin. Also, it's a little bit of a break after the psukim that we had. Okay, we had, right, give back the mashkon, right? Then we had, don't not pay your workers on time, right? You have to pay them on time. Then there's lo yum tu avot abanim, is pasuk ted zayin. You can see this all on the sheet. And then yud zayin is lo tatem ish prak ir yatom, the lo tachbol beged almana. You're not allowed to grab the beged of an almana. So what do you see here?
Hashalachirim tachbol.
Sounds like you can't take other people's things. Now the question is going to be, what are we going to do with this source? Man, who's the subject of this? Inem a Baal Chov haktiv lo tavo b'to lavo davato. Obviously, it can't be the Baal Chov because he already is forbidden from all these things, right? He can't go take any item. Obviously, right? This assumes you can't take the Begel Almanah, you can't take the Rechayim Varechav, but you can take other things. So how could it be the Baal Chov? He obviously can't take other things. So what must it be? El Alav Shliach Beit Din. It must be the Shliach Beit Din's allowed to, which again goes against Shmuel, because Shmuel said the Shliach Beit Din can't go into the house to take items. So Tirgam Rav Papa Bered Rav Nachman Kamed Rav Yosef, or Amrei La Rav Papa Bered Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Yosef. Okay, exactly which Rav Papa this was, but somebody said it before of Yosef. La Olam BeBaal Chov. You could just say that this is a way of saying if you take, you go into someone's house and you take his rechayim berechev, you're over on both the lo tase of lo tavo bito lavot avoto and the lo tase of lo tachbo rechayim berechev. And if you just take a regular item of his that's not what he needs for his sustenance, then you'll only be over on one lav. And therefore, we can explain it according to Shmuel also. Tashma. Mimashma, okay, here's another source against Shmuel. Mimashma shenemar b'chutz ta'amod, eini yodash, aisha terashan asher atano shebo yotzi. What does the pasuk say? If you want to go to get a mashkon, what do? Stand outside the door. That would have been enough, right? What would you have assumed if we said stand outside the door? It means the person who you took the money from will bring you a mashkon, right? So why does the pasuk have to tell you, wait outside, and the person who needs to get, right, who owes you money will bring you the mashkan? It's totally unnecessary. It would have been obvious without that. Ela, matom ulomar v'ha'ish, lirabot shliach beitin, if v'ha'ish comes to include, even though the ish in that, the subject of the sentence is obviously the love, but now they're going to darshin, since it's unnecessary, the ish must be referring to some other ish. Who's the other ish in this picture? It must be the shliach beitin. Okay, which would then, now again, what does it mean then, right? What is this ish? So the first assumption, which will go against Shmuel, is my lav shliach beitin kilove. Aren't we then going to assume that if the ish, right, the ish in the pshat is the love, and the ish in the drasha is the shliach beitin. So what are we going to assume? That it's coming to teach you that shliach beitin is like the love himself, which means what? He can go into the house, which would be against Shmuel, who said that the Shliach Beit Din can't go into the house. So then the Gemara says, lo, Shliach Beit Din kimalveh. What it's coming to tell you is, there's an additional person here that's involved in the Isser of this Pasuk. And that's the Shliach Beit Din, and that would be Shmuel's explanation of this source. Okay, another attempt to knock down Shmuel. Im chavol tachbol samat re'echa, b'shliach Beit Din akatub medaber. What does it mean? Im chavol tachbol samat re'echa. They say the subject of that sentence is not the way, right, we thought, right now it's talking about the Shliach Beit Din. Okay, so now what do we say? The Brit is going to continue. Atalmer b'Shliach Beit Din akatub medaber eino ela b'Baal Chov. Maybe, right, this is the way a lot of these Britot start out. They say something and then they say, well, who's to say that that's the case? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's actually talking about the Baal Chov. Okay, we're now in Pasuk, in Shmot, Perakafe, Pasuk, Kafhe. Right? Im chavol tachbol samar re'echa, abo ha-shemesh shishivenu la. So now they say, Kishuhu omer lo tavo beito la'avot avoto, hare Baal Chov amur. Ha, ma'ani mekayem im tachavol tachbol samar re'echa, b'shlech beitin akatub mitaber. What are we saying now? If you didn't have the pasuk shmo, right? You just had dvarim. This is classic, by the way, where there's repetition, which many can explain, well, it's repeated for various reasons, right? And it is repeated exactly. But now, or it's unnecessary, right? But it's necessary maybe for something else. But now what they're saying is like this. If it says in Devarim, you can't go to his house to take a mashkon, then obviously, im chavol tachbol samarecha, meaning if you grabbed his cloak, then you'd have to give it back to him. Well, that's obvious, right? We already said you're not allowed to do that. And if you do, you have to give it back to him. So obviously, right, it's unnecessary to say it another time about the malveh. So therefore, it must be about the Beit Din. That's their assumption. So now what do you see? That the Beit Din can't grab something, right? Can't go into the house, which again would knock down Shmuel. So finally, after all these questions against Shmuel, and every time he gives some sort of an answer, finally he says, Tinaihi, it's a machloka tanaim. Okay? Very simply, first of all, I'm not sure Shmuel himself says this. This is the Gemara's question. Shmuel, the Gemara answers, it's a machloket tana'im. And Shmuel sides on one side of the machloket, and our Mishnah sides on the other side, or at least the way we read the Mishnah, right? In our understanding. How do we know it's a machloket tana'im? You can't just say that without supporting it. D'tanya, here's a braita. Shliach beit din sheba lamashkano, lo yikanes lebeito lamashkano, ela ome bachutz, v'hala motzi lo et hamashkon. Okay, that's fairly obvious, right? The shliach beit din comes. What does it say here? The shliach beit din can't come into the house. This is Shmuel's opinion, right? Shenemar bachutz tamo v'ha'ish. Right? Again, we said that v'ha'ish comes to include that also it's the shliach beit din is like the malvin. V'tanya idach, and here's the other source, Baal Chov Shabbal HaMashkano Lo Yikanes LeBeito LaMashkano, right? That the subject of this is the Baal Chov and not the Shlech Beitin. Ela Omei Bachutz Ba'ala Nichnas Motzi LaMashkano Shenemar Bachutz Tamod U'Shlech Beitin Shabbal HaMashkano Harezen Nichnas LeBeito U'Memashkano, and he can take a Mashkon. So there you have it. The two opinions, right? About the whether it's the Beit Din that's not allowed to go into the house or the Beit Din is allowed to go into the house, and the main subject is the Malva can't go into the house. The Braita continues, V'lo yamashkenenu dvarim shosim bam ochal nefesh. Okay, that comes from Lo yachbol rechayim varechev. Right, you can't take things that he needs for his sustenance. By the way, it's another case, right, ochal nefesh. And we know that mostly from Yom Tov, right, things that you're allowed to do mishum ochal nefesh. Now here's an interesting thing. V'notein, what does he leave him? In other words, if someone's left with nothing but basics, these are the basics you have to leave him with. Notein mita, umita umatza la'ashir, mita umita umapatz la'ani. If he's ashir, you have to give him a bed, and then another bed and a cover for a rich person, and for a poor person, a bed and another bed and a mat, because they would sleep on mats. Okay? La'ani. Lo, now, why two beds? We're going to get to this. You would think him and his wife, but not, because what does it say here? This is a very disturbing line. Avalo li'ishto v'lo l'banavu l'vnotav. Okay? Not for his wife, not for his sons, not for his daughters. In other words, you have to leave only the basics for the love, not for anybody else in his house. Kederach shemisadrim l'bal chov kach misadrim be'erchin. Now, they say this is like a person who, what's erchin? That's when you say, I'm giving the value of a person to the Beit HaMikdash. And let's say the value, right, and there's certain amounts given in the Torah, exactly what that amount is, right? It doesn't go based on Eved Bashuk. It goes by what it says in the Torah, if it's a man, if it's a woman, if it's above a certain age, under a certain age, etc. There's all a whole list in the Torah. Let's say you say, I'm going to do that, and then you don't have enough money to pay it. So the Kohen comes and he assesses your finances and he leaves you with these basics that we said here. So they're going to say, just like these are the basics here, right? We have to leave them with basics. Also, the same thing by Erchin. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Klapelaya, Ikar Sidur be'Erchin Ktiv. That whole pasuk appears specifically in Erchin. In Erchin it says, I should have brought it on the sheet. Let me just find it. It doesn't say it on the side here. Let me just find it. It's imach me'erkecha, like if you are too poor and you can't afford it. Here, it's vayikar kav zayin chet. V'imachu me'erkecha, right, if he's too poor and he can't afford to pay his value. V'hemido lefnei ha'kohen ve'erich oto ha'kohen al asher tasig yad hanoder yarichenu ha'kohen. What he can afford, the Kohen assesses. Basically, the Kohen comes and assesses. This is what the guy can afford. We have to leave him some basics. So now they say, so wait, why are you saying just like we do it here, we do it in Erchin? The main pasuk that explains how we do this is in Erchin. So what do they say? Oh, yeah, it really should be read the opposite. Ela ema, kederech shemisadrim be'erchin kach misadrim be'bal chov. It means the opposite. It means that we're going to learn the halachot from Erchin to here. Just like in Erchin, if you can't afford it, we're going to leave you some basics. Also, in our case, we're going to leave the guy some basics, right? Don't take away all his money. Now we're going to try to understand what's this, why does he need these two mitot, right? And you would think him and his wife, but no. Amar mar. Notem mita u'mita u'matza la'ashir, mita u'mita u'mapatz la'ani. Liman. Who's this second bed for? Ilema liishto lebanavu libnotav haamarta lo avalo liishto banavu libnotav. Right, we already said it's just for him, not for benobito benotav. By the way, Where do they get this from? That it's a disturbing halacha that you don't need it for the wife, but it comes from the pasuk. It says Hashev Tashiv Lo Et Avot. It's specifically to him. It means he's the guy who we're concerned with. He's the lovet. We give it back to him. Ella Idi Beidi Ledide. Ella Idi Beidi Ledide. They're both for him. Okay. So obviously, the poor is going to ask Tarte Lamali. What is going to need two beds for? Chada de Achelala veChada de Zagala. One for eating and one for sleeping. Why do you need one for eating and one for sleeping? Can't you use it for the same? Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Kol Mili Yadana Asutayu Levar Mehan Etzlat. I know how to cure. Shmuel was a doctor, says, and a scientist. I know how to cure everything except for the following three things. Manda Achela Hine Marira, Aliba Rekana. Somebody who eats bitter, what is it, bitter? Dates on an empty stomach. Umanda asar mitna dekitna retiva acharte, someone who wears a wet linen
flax robe,
okay,
rope, right?
One who puts a rope, a flax wet rope around his loins. Umanda achal nahama velo maske arba'a gamide, and someone who eats bread and doesn't
walk 4 amot.
Oh, right, and doesn't walk 4 amot. Right, this is why. This is why you need a different, right? This is a great, it's like don't eat in your bed, right? And like you can see these people who are so lazy that they can't even get up, right? They just do everything in their bed. They eat in their bed. They sleep in their bed. They say, you have to have two beds because otherwise you're going to end up lying around all day in your bed and not doing anything. Like that's the worst. I can't even find a cure for that. Okay. Tani Tana.
One was a bed like in the living room and one was a bed in the
right, exactly. So that this
couches.
Four,
couches.
Right, right. They didn't have couches and they ate on their... A bed is like a table, really. I mean, their beds were kind of table-like. They we talk about the
Okerat
HaShulchan, right? Right. It's the same type thing,
mats,
basically.
You know,
okay. You know, it could be that they mean a bed like this and a bed like that, not necessarily the exact same, right? One might be more square and one more rectangular. Let's say. Okay. Okay. Again, we're still struggling with where his wife and kids are sleeping and what they're doing, but okay. Yeah.
If he borrows. And he dies, then his widow and his children don't have to pay back. So, right?
The guy already has a mashkon. He can just take the money from the mashkon, and then he doesn't give it back, and then they're left with basically nothing. Although, I guess if he left them the bed, then they'd have the husband's bed. Okay. Now, Tani Tana Kameda Rav Nachman. They brought in front of Rav Nachman, a guy brought up, said this bright, Kederach Shemus Tadrim Be'erach and Kach Mus Tadrim Be'balchov. So Amar Leh, Rav Nachman says to him, Hash Jezivune Mizabnin on Leh, Sidure Mizadrin on Leh. If we're going to sell, right, 1 second, I forgot what this question means. Right. According in the Mishnah, what did it say? According to Rav Moshe Ben Gamliel, what can we do? We can sell the mashkon after 30 days. So if we can sell the mashkon after 30 days, so what are we talking about? Sidurim esadrinale, that we make sure he has some stuff left over. Didn't we say, yes, you can take the mashkon, you have to return it every night so the guy has something, but according to Rashbag, after 30 days you can sell the whole thing and not leave him with anything. Okay? So now they say, umim esadrinale, can you really sell it? Bahatnam, machzir takar balayla ve'etach machre shabi yom. So now they say, right, but what do you mean? According to Tanakama, right, we don't sell it. You have to give it back to him every day or every night. So Tana Kirashbag, Tana Kameh, in other words, the Tana who brought in front of Rav Nachman was bringing the bright of Rashbag. And Bahachi Kamar Le, Hashta Le Rashbag, Zivune Mizamnina Le, Sidure Mesadrina Le, Titnan Rashbag Omer Aflatzmo, Ino Machzir Ela Ad Shloshim Yom, Mikam Ba'elach Mochram Bebeitim. So now we're going to say that basically the question was on Rashbag. The Tana brought the brayta in the name of Rashbag. That just like we, right, just like Misadrim Be'erachin, Kach Misadrim Be'achov, we leave him with something. And Rashbag himself said that after 30 days you could take everything. So it doesn't jive, right? The two, Divrei Rashbag, don't make any sense. Umimai dechi ka'amar Rashbag zivune legamre ka'amar. How do you know that when Rashbag said we sell the entire thing? Maybe it meant, no, we sell it, but we leave him with this mitao matzah or whatever it might be, depending on whether he's rich or poor. Dilma hachi ka'amar, ad shloshim yom hadra lebe'ene. Right, until 30 days, Rashbag says, you give him the whole thing back, half the day. Mikam ve'elach mehadr le lamayda chazele umesabnina mayda lo chazele. But after that, what do? We return what he needs and we sell what he doesn't need. Okay? So now they're going to have a question. Isal kadatach, and we'll stop here with the question. Eat le rashbag hai svara. If we want to say that Rashbag holds that way, that basically we can sell most of the mashkon, right? Even though, what are we basically saying? The guy needs the mashkon, but we're only going to let him have it for 30 days. However, we're going to at least leave him with the bare minimum, right? Depending on whether he's ashir or ani, but the bare minimum after the 30 days, right? We're going to sell the majority, right? Let's say we'll sell the whole mashkon. Let's say it's one object. And we'll give him money to be able to afford very basic stuff. So now they're going to say, but we have a problem with this. And this is a very interesting place to end. What does it say? Leika midi de lo chazile? Da'amar Abaye, Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. Kulu svira lehu. Okay, now we're going to say this. We've seen this before where, in fact, Abaye says that we once did an analysis. Who says this? That all these people agree about the same thing. Okay, kulu svira lehu. And he's going to bring, we'll see tomorrow, all the different statements that these people say, which all have the bottom line of what? Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim hem. Every Jew is like a ben of melech, which means what? That anything that the guy needs is basically essential, right? A ben melech needs a palace, right? Even though you might say a palace is lavish, but he needs it. So any of this person's basic needs, he needs. So if this is a collateral that you're taking that he needs, how could Rashbag possibly say that we can sell it? Even if we leave him the very bare minimum, but bare minimum is not enough if you're a ben melech. Okay, and so first we're going to see all the places where they say the B'nai Yisrael or B'nai Melachim, and then we're going to have to explain what he means here.